Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter on Church at Home. Church at Home is dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, let's understand some things about God. We've seen that He's Creator. Let's also understand that God is a God of truth. Very important, because many religious leaders, even calling themselves Christian, say that the Bible contains lies. Well, some Bibles do because men have changed it to their own liking. But if it is in truth according to the original language, and it's faithfully translated, which we have done in the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful translation, then it reflects what God inspired the original writers to write. We know that God is true and every man is a liar. And we'll talk a little bit more about human nature as we go along with this. Let's see some things that are important concerning God. Let's come over to the book of Titus. Now, Titus was written by the Apostle Paul to Titus, one of the ministers who served with him. In fact, one of those that he ordained. Verse 1, Titus, the first chapter. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth. We're going to focus on the truth. And what does that have to do with the Word of God, and why we are to believe and follow the truth, and why we are to prove all things with the Scriptures, and why we are to open the Scriptures and do like the Bereans to see if these things are so or not. And that's what we do at Church at Home. And this is what we want you to do. We want you to get out your Bible, follow along with all the video casts that we have, and use this as a starter for your own personal study. And today, there are so many study aids that are digitized and also books if you don't have a computer. There are concordances, there are word studies and things like this that are all available. And notice, as he says, to the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness. Let's see what else that this leads to. Verse 2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the ages of time. Now think of that. God is true. God is righteous. God is holy. God cannot lie. Now we're going to talk in this segment about the inspiration of the Word of God, so that we can realize that it is the truth of God that we are seeking. Now, the truth of God is like a two-edged sword. It cuts asunder. It exposes evil for what it is and reveals truth for what it is. But there's one thing that's important for you to understand in understanding about how you come to the knowledge of the truth. Once you understand a truth from the Word of God, you are to believe it and accept it and obey it. Now that becomes a very key in understanding the Word of God. Let's come to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Again, let's talk about, can you trust God? Will God, who is truth, always speak the truth? Yes. And it's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6, talking about the blessing that he gave to Abraham and why he gave it. Verse 17, in this way, God desiring more abundantly to show the heirs of the promise the unchangeable nature of his own purpose. God says, I change not. Now, how do you square that with Christians who say, well, When Jesus Christ came, he changed his mind and we don't need the Old Testament anymore. God says the unchangeable nature of his own purpose confirmed his promise to Abraham now by an oath, so that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. When God speaks, since he is truth, it is truth. When God commands, it is truth. Now, aren't you glad that God doesn't lie? Yes, indeed. But what should this do for us when we prove that God exists, when we prove that his word is true, when we prove the teachings in the Bible, that we are to follow them? That's what we are to do. Now come here to Hebrews, the first chapter, and let's see something that it says here about Jesus Christ and why he is so important and why what he did is so fantastic as one who was God before and created everything and then became a human being. And now let's see what he is after the resurrection. Verse 1, Hebrews, the first chapter. God, who spoke to the fathers at different times in the past, and in many ways by the prophets, has spoken to us in these last days by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the exact image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his own power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's Jesus Christ. You look out at the universe, you look at the earth. Every law that we find on earth, regulation of life, Christ is upholding it by the word of his power. And Jesus told his apostles that all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to him. Now, we're talking about the truth of God. Now let's talk about Jesus, who said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And what we need to really realize here, because we need to understand concerning the word of God that it is true, so we can look at things which maybe are very close to your heart and that you cherish, that you love, that you think is wonderful. And as we're going to see, we're going to look at Christmas the way the Bible does, not Christmas the way that the world does. But it's important for you to realize that when we do so, in a couple segments down ahead from here, that we are firmly established in the Word of God. We are firmly established in the truth, so that when we look at it and examine it, we can judge it by the truth, rather than think that God is taking something from you or that you're a mean, evil man in saying these things. You'll understand that it is the Word of God. See, here on Church at Home and Christian Biblical Church of God and our other website, cbcg.org, we have no politics, we have no hidden agenda, we have no secret thing that we are doing. We love God the Father and Jesus Christ and the truth of God and preach the true gospel of Christ and the truth of the Word of God. Now let's talk about truth. Let's come back here to the book of Psalms. Now we're going to look at several psalms back here. I tell you, if you want a really, really good study, study the whole book of Psalms. Read it through. Think about it. Apply it to your life. Apply it to what you have to say, how your life is going to be lived. And look at the world. God expects us to look at the world and make decisions and judgments concerning right and wrong, good and evil, based upon what the Bible tells us, because it is true. Now let's read it here. Psalm 117. one of the shortest psalms in the Bible, only 2 verses. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations, praise Him, all people. Are all people subject to God? Should they worship the true God? Yes, indeed. But as we saw in Acts 17, as we also saw in Isaiah the 40th chapter, they make idols and worship other gods and violate the first commandment. But notice the rest of it, verse 2. For His merciful kindness is great toward us. God is merciful and kind and understanding and forgiving, provided that we repent. Now continuing, notice this. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. This is what we need to understand. Truth is truth is truth is truth. And God's truth endures forever. Everything that God does is done in truth and righteousness, and truth and mercy, and truth and goodness. Is not the love of God based upon truth? Yes, it is, because God cannot lie and will not lie. So therefore, we need to come to understand His word the way that He wants us to. But too many men judge God and accuse God and Jesus Christ of lying. Now, where did such an attitude like that come from? Well, I think if you hearken back to the Garden of Eden, the serpent said, did God really say you shouldn't eat of any of the trees of the garden? Twisting and turning, right? We'll have a little more to say about that later on. But let's understand a fundamental truth of the Bible. The error that Adam and Eve made was listening to Satan the devil twist the words of God and make the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to appear better than the commandments of God and the tree of life. And to get them to believe that they had the prerogative, which God never gave to any man, to decide what is good, what is evil, what is right, what is wrong. Now you go back and listen to the segments that we did. How did men come to have a sinful nature? Now we go through the whole thing concerning Adam and Eve. But the key point here is this. The truth of the Lord endures forever. That means eternity past and eternity future. Now notice here's something else that endures forever. Psalm 119 and verse 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is the truth. Now what is one of the greatest lies that has ever been perpetrated? You know, isn't it ironic? And isn't it just something that is fundamentally insane? Which is this. From the supposed Christian pulpits, the ministers proclaim that the law has been done away. When Jesus said, don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I didn't come to do that. I came to fulfill. Why do we have such a contradiction coming from the pulpit and the writings of supposedly Christian men, supposedly representing God? Can we honor God with lies? Can we worship the God of truth with lies? Goes clear back to the problem of Cain and Abel. Abel brought his offering according to the instructions of God. Cain wanted to do it his way and decide right from wrong, good and evil, bring it to God, and God is supposed to accept it because I did it, Lord, from the goodness of my heart. Well, let me ask you a question. If you do something that is contrary to the word of God, which is truth, and it endures forever, and God's righteousness endures forever, and the law of God is the truth, Do you think God is obligated to accept it? I want you to think on that, and let's set that aside, put it in the back of our minds until we come to how does the Bible describe Christmas? All right, same Psalm, verse 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Would God forsake his truth, his laws, and his commandments, and accept lies in worship toward him? Now, would you do that? If someone came and besmirched your character with lies, falsehoods, pretenses, flatteries, how would you feel? Well, all you have to do is look at politics and you know what goes on with that. But let me tell you something very interesting. How the Christian world treats God the Father and Jesus Christ through the things that they do and observe and teach and proclaim are doing the same thing. Do you do that to God? Do you love God? Do you love his commandments? Verse 97. Can you say this with David? And David was a man after God's heart, wasn't he? And David's going to be in the kingdom of God. He was judged on the basis of what we call the New Testament today. Notice what he wrote. Can you say this with David? Oh, how love I your law, it is my meditation all the day. Do you believe that? Or do you in hostility reject the law of God? Do you even understand the law of God? Now, if you don't, we have a series on cbcg.org, 14 sermons entitled God's Grace and Commandment Keeping. You need that and need to understand that. You need to listen to every word of all 14 of those sermons so you understand what God is doing in the New Testament. Now notice, verse 98, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they, that is, your commandments, are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. What does it help you to do? If you know the laws and commandments of God, if you keep and obey them, what does it keep you from doing? Keeps you from sinning. And what is sin? The transgression of the law. Yes, indeed. Notice what David writes here, verse 101. I have held back my feet from every evil way so that I might keep your word. Now, we're going to talk about God's word. Now, let's come over here to verse 160. Your word is a truth from the beginning, from Genesis to Revelation. And Jesus said, I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And the Bible reveals in the New Testament that Jesus was the one who was the creator. Jesus was the one who spoke to Moses, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Noah, to Seth, to Abel, to Adam and Eve. See, because the truth of the Bible is the Father was not revealed until Jesus came to reveal him. Now notice, and every one of your righteous ordinances endure forever. Oh, do you really believe that? Now this becomes important because when we come down to understanding the truth about Christmas, it is going to be a two-edged sword. And how are you going to take it? Are you going to believe God? Or are you going to believe your feelings and your emotions? What is it? So we need to ask the question then, what is my life? What am I doing? Where am I going? Do you really want eternal life? Well, there's only one way because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. When that begins to happen and you seek God, then the Father himself will send his Spirit to draw you. Come over here to verse 125. I am your servant, give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to work, for they have made void your law. And isn't that what they do? Yes. I've talked to those who had previously been rooted in Protestantism and evangelicalism today is falling apart like a crumbling building being devoured by giant termites. Because they say, the law of God has been done away. They make void the word of God and yet have the gall and audacity to stand in the pulpit and say they represent God and do so on a day which God never commanded to be kept, Sunday. Now let's make a couple of important connections here. Sunday is the way that men claim that they want to worship God on that day, instead of the seventh day Sabbath, as God commanded, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. They'll all admit that's what the Bible teaches, but they won't do it. And where does that take us right back to? The same thing with Cain. He wanted to do it his way, and God said that was sin. And they do it by making void the law of God. Because of this, here needs to be our attitude. Verse 127, therefore I love your commandments above gold, yea, fine gold. Therefore I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Now, this is the attitude we're going to have to come to understand the truth and to realize what God says is true. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about the truth and inspiration of the Bible so that you can have full confidence and understand that the Word of God, the commandments of God, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and everything about the Bible are true, done and inspired by the God of truth, through the Spirit of truth, through the love of mankind, to give you the understanding of who and what is God, so that you may receive eternal life. But each one of us individually have to choose that, and have to seek that, and have to want it above everything else. Notice what it says here. Therefore, I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Well, this is important. This is going to be the separation point. This is going to be understanding of what are you going to do when you know the truth. Now, there may be some say, well, I don't want to know the truth. I enjoy this too much. Really? Are the presents and lights and the glitter and the Christmas tree greater than the eternal God who made you? Well, let's think about that. We'll pick it up there next time. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, and download the 14 sermons on God's grace and commandment keeping. This is vital for you to understand the truth of the New Testament. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.